Welcome to the Pathfinder Podcast, brought to you by Shillington, where we talk to creators about how they navigated their design careers from the early beginnings up until now, and the twists and turns along the way. I'm Jimmy Muldoon, designer and teacher at Shillington's New York campus. Glad you could join us.
So today we have Garrett, who is the co-founder and creative director of the Brooklyn-based creative studio, All Right Studio, along with Spencer, who is a partner and creative director there also. Their work scope ranges from hospitality to distilleries to music artists into well-being and beyond. Thank you both for joining me today. How you guys going?
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
It's my first podcast, so I'm welcome. I have to talk over everyone.
You get to do that on your first podcast.
Well, you've never even heard of a podcast, I'm assuming, right?
Me?
Is this your first podcast that you've ever listened to as well?
Dude, I crush podcasts.
Okay, I'm just saying maybe you aren't familiar with podcasts.
No, I'm very familiar with the medium, and I'm going to try to also not use like my having listened to other podcast biases to like put on a character for this one, so.
Well, Garrett knows the rules. You know, he's been on podcasts before. You know, he's like, I don't talk over anyone.
I'm very accomplished in being on one podcast.
I've listened to that podcast before I worked with RN Studio. So, yeah.
It worked. I listened to that one as well. It was a great episode.
I think they had Actual Source on maybe the next one or the one after. And so it felt very much like we were one of the first design studios to go on that one. If no one has heard of that, it was with Mouthwash, which they're actually a very successful design studio now too. But we were one of the first design studios to go on there. And then immediately they invited just the best design studio to come right after us. And I was like, well, yeah, but like, how do you follow that up? You
know? Like, well, they followed you up.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Actual Source.
Yeah. I've listened to both episodes and I hope that Actual Source aren't listening. But I think
it would be awesome if they were.
Shout out Actual Source, shout out Mouthwash.
I would rate and review your episode. So I kind of wanted to start with how you both think that your upbringing has kind of influenced your career choices to this point.
I've been asked this question before and I think about it a lot. And my answer is I have no idea, because my dad was not super creative, but he was a very creative problem solver. Like, he loved to just provide for people and like make breakfast and like do all the things. And I really, like, on reflecting about it, I realized that I get a lot of my desire to like create solutions for people from him. My mom was a little bit more creative, but she was an English teacher and she wasn't like just overly creative. And so I have no idea where it comes from, but it also kind of doubles down on my belief that I'm actually not necessarily an artist and more of just someone who is trying to make businesses a little better. But I think that my upbringing especially it was most important by putting anxiety on me. I learned very quickly how to have a work ethic and how to like find your niche and your spot and like really work to be like something unique, especially in a hometown that, like, you know, also shout out Springfield, Missouri, is a very creative town, but also just didn't have a lot of necessarily places to go in an actual design career. There were really limited shops, really limited places to work. It made me try as much stuff as possible, I think, just being in a town that didn't have as much to offer in that way and parents that didn't quite understand what I was doing, but very supportive of it. I think all sort of led to a personality type that I think works well. And it's something that I hope is good. It really comes back to like the concept and the work ethic and like the niceties and the sense of being overly apologetic that I tend to have is all very Midwestern.
Yeah, I'm glad that you answered first, actually, because I hadn't really thought about this, but there's a lot of overlap in our sort of upbringings, I guess you put it. For one, I was raised by a single parent, and so I like there were a lot of there was a lot of pressure to do well, which I think that has carried over into now, into the career. But also, I was a very sort of like conflictedly creative kid where like I was a big skateboarder. I was really into music. But then I was also a bit of a jock and I went to like a private school. And in the early 2000s, like skateboarding and music were weirdly like not cool, I think, at least where I grew up in Washington, DC. So I was like a closeted creative kid. And then like I just increasingly became kind of less creative as I got into my teens. And then when I got to college, I went to the University of Texas in Austin, and then I like discovered that creativity again. And that's also when I discovered Garrett. I was, you know, studying graphic design, and he was already like, you know, many thousands of followers on Dribbble, and I became obsessed. But you know, kind of like the roundabout way that I found graphic design as a practice was sort of the result of not being like a creative kid or like an art kid when I was younger. So also similar to Garrett, like my approach to design isn't necessarily about making pretty pictures. It's really about solving problems for people. And I think, you know, that makes for a really nicely like complementary relationship for us working together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we had to like break it down, see that this is the other thing is like, I could find pieces of like artistic integrity in like both of our work. Like, yeah. I mean, especially all of your screen printing stuff.
That's true.
And things like that. And like, I remember really vividly, I'm still a terrible drawer, like just awful, awful at drawing. But I just drew incessantly as a kid. But I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really realize I was drawing. I was doing things like, I would literally like go home and I would like redraw clothing logos and stuff. Like I would just make logos and I would even print off fonts from just Microsoft Word and like trace that and like make a some sort of layout. And I didn't know what it was. It sort of like got overtaken by like the music scene a little bit. Like I was just so close to it back in Springfield that, you know, I wasn't a very good musician, but I did get tapped to do all the art. And so there was a lot of like artisticness there. And I similarly have a tough time like reconciling it because I think it's hard to do both, especially right now.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. When I was learning like the practice of design, I learned a lot from listening to podcasts. I was obsessed with this podcast called Adventures in Design, which was like very sort of screen printer, like Mondo Gallery in Austin centric, which was this very specific niche community, but the host had all of these kind of like isms and sort of like design best practice things, but then he would also talk to a lot of artists that were involved in like culture, skateboarding, whatever. And in listening to these interviews, I was like, oh wait, I like have heard of this guy before. And I'd realized like he designed like a skateboard graphic that I was obsessed with when I was a kid. And I'd sort of just forgotten or like not even realized that was a thing. And it all started to come back together where I realized like this aspect of my youth was influencing this aspect of my like young adulthood. And I don't know, it is this cyclical thing where there's not like a direct through line, but there is something there.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, sounds like it all kind of came full circle for you, Spencer. Like, did you, at what point did you know that you wanted to then study design at college?
So that was also super roundabout. I went to Georgetown University my freshman year sort of aimlessly, and I absolutely hated it. And I transferred to the University of Texas, also just kind of randomly, like no plan. I think I went down, there was like a psych major or something. And they have this kind of unusual program there that's in their advertising major, but it's called the creative sequence. And it's like very competitive and kind of like hard to get into and whatever. But basically once you're in, you sort of segment as an art director or a copywriter. And it's really geared toward a big ad. Like they don't really teach you how to do design stuff. They teach you how to think. And you know, I was really focused on being like a Leo Burnett ad guy. But you did sort of have to, if you were like an art director, kind of use the programs and like at least try to design stuff. And that was so bad, so bad, but trying and like failing, but learning and whatever. And then basically my first job, I had the option of either getting like a big ad internship in Denver or a like junior designer job at this really trash PR firm in DC that did like weird crisis communications and kind of sold me a false bill of goods. But anyway, I took that to like a real job. And then from then on, I was a designer. Like that was never the plan, but basically like fell into it and then started having fun doing it. And then kind of unlocked this little like creative corner of my brain. And now here we are.
Here we go.
Yeah. You put it in front of the other and before you know it, you've walked a mile, you know?
before you know it. And now in reflection, you're like, ah, okay. All of those like steps that you didn't think were going to necessarily add up to a certain position have got you to where you are today. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Obviously, when we talk of like when we used to go to parties, right, and now it's, you know, I guess we do Zoom parties. When people kind of ask, what do you do? Like, how do you describe what you do?
I don't know when I started doing this and I don't know why I do it, but I always answer very reliably that I run a small studio.
I just say my graphic designer.
Like, see, I don't say that.
I should stop, honestly. Like, it's cooler to say I run a small studio. But I'd
almost rather be a graphic designer some days, though.
I mean, they both sound very cool, which is nice. But, yeah, I don't know. So, like, I haven't described myself as a creative director, really.
That's
today
fair.
Was the first time, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that question was always so loaded back in the party times because I knew that it would then beget more questions. Typically, except now that we're in New York, everybody's like a graphic designer.
That's the thing, is like literally anyone you meet at a party would probably call themselves a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Or they are.
Especially a creative director. I mean, everybody is in this town.
And more often than not, people are having to do graphic design as a part of their like very not related to graphic design jobs, like communication, marketing. And I've run into so many people that are like, yeah, I'm actually pretty dangerous with Photoshop just because we didn't have anyone else who could do it.
Dangerous.
Being the operative word.
Dangerous.
Not only is very rarely good dangerous,
but I think that's the thing. It's like, what's, you know, depending if you want to continue the conversation with the person, you give them, I'm a graphic designer, or I run a small studio, or I'm a creative director, or the classic one these days, like, oh, I'm a podcast host, right? Everyone's a podcast host.
Well, this is my first podcast, so maybe now I can claim that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm a podcast guest, professionally.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's dad would probably be like, yeah, I own a small business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can like endorse each other on like whatever platform about, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Working, not working.
Shout on Fiverr.
So Garrett, we've obviously caught up a number of times and you've kind of, your design journey, career journey has been really quite remarkable from, you know, starting off in, you know, Kansas City as this design intern and, you know, moving, you know, into Charity Water and, you know, obviously there's a lot of steps along the way, but now kind of being, you know, at All Right Studio, can you walk us through that career journey? Because it is quite extensive, right? You've touched, you know, you've dealt with a lot of different things.
Yeah, I think extensive is the right word. I really intentionally dropped out of college. That's where everything I think sort of started. I actually went to a small Bible college in Ohio for a semester and a half and ended up dropping out during spring break of my second semester. And actually the good thing that came out was I met my partner Hope during that short time. You know, I dropped out of school in Ohio. I went back home to Missouri, and I've always been, I am just a very anxious person. And one of the ways that that expresses itself and sort of historically has my entire career is just being really unsatisfied with the work that I'm currently doing and sort of a grass is always greener sort of person. And I really attribute that to a lot of the progression as well as just boredom. Because I could never, I kind of thumb my nose at people who tend to jump around from tech job to tech job every year or so. And because I have a sense that that's not very nice to do to people. But the reality is that I literally was changing jobs every year, if not more often. And when I dropped out, I said to myself, like, if I'm not going to get college, then I have to figure myself out some other way. And I started designing gig posters really early, and that meant that I was always designing with real content early. And somehow my brain got hardwired to not be very good at self-initiated projects. And so the amount of like joy and experience that you can find in like a poster that you just decide to make. I was finding that literally in my advertising internship job, because I was so new to design. Yeah. Whatever I was designing was like super exciting. And it was, I look back on that really fondly, because I think in some ways I could have gone like, not to be presumptuous, this is not necessarily what I mean, but I could have gone like the Yale MFA route, right? Like I could have just like gone back to school and like really tried to advance in like a very sort of empirical area of our field. And I resonate with a lot of the people that have gone through programs like that. But I couldn't do it. I just didn't know how to work with things that I had to start on my own. I really needed a client. And so that meant that I hopped from like internship to internship, some of them in-house, some of them not. I worked for a magazine for a little while because honestly, I didn't know anything about editorial layout. And there was a magazine gig that popped up for, it was, I think, like a 6-month contract. And I didn't know InDesign at the time. I think I told you this, that I just completely lied that I knew InDesign. And I just, like, I had to look up. I remember they would give me the formatting instructions for my design test. And it's things like, you know, font 8:12. And I was like, what is 8:12? And I had to look that up and figure out that that means like size 8, you know, line space 12. And so I figured all that stuff out, like while I was doing the design test, like at home that night. And I kind of just kept doing that. And every time I got kind of bored, I would just sort of click around and see what other jobs there might be in town that were opening, or not even jobs. I really got into the habit of just cold emailing every single design studio in both Springfield and elsewhere. I remember I emailed this place in Austin and like started talking to them. I emailed like some of the greats. I tried to email like Dan Casero to like work for him. And I think he was maybe still at MTV at the time, even. I don't think he had a practice, but and so basically I did that until like there was nowhere left to go. And so then I started sort of looking at other things. And one of my very first internships was with they were called a branding studio. I still struggle with whether that was actually what we were doing. But I joined this little branding studio as an intern, and really our main responsibility was, there was this huge conference being put on at the Assemblies of God Church, which was a huge, for some reason in Springfield, Missouri, that's like the world headquarters of that church. And I spent like a year working on branding, print pieces, posters, websites, banners, like 100, 200 foot tall banners, just for this conference.
And a full year?
Yeah, it was a full year. Wow. Yeah, and actually it was, it's supposed to take much longer than that. Because we had been brought in as like cleanup crew, because they had spent basically every 3 years this conference happened, and yeah, they spent the first two kind of dicking around. And then they were like, hey, can you guys like do everything?
What was the vibe, hype church or like very?
No,
church?
it was very church. But there was like a youth publishing division, and for some reason that took the most amount of space. I think everyone recognized that was the cooler version of the church. But anyway, so when I was kind of, you know, looking for something else somewhere distant and not in Missouri, I got a call from the guy who had run that studio. And in the meantime, they had merged with a development shop that we had worked on a project with. They'd actually completely joined companies, and their goal at the moment when I first talked to them was, they were really working in Hollywood. They were pitching and doing a lot of movie websites. Like I remember I stumbled across some files, like fireworks files for the Need for Speed website, like back when that movie came out, that kind of stuff. And he called me and he was like, so I know you probably know like what work we've been doing. I want to tell you about what we're going to be doing. And that is, we're working on one product. We're turning into a product shop. We got this great idea. We're all in. There's a bunch of investors. Like the only thing we don't have is, you know, they had a interaction designer and like a UI designer. And then they just didn't have like a designer. They had an art director who was very much like conceptual. And so they wanted me at age like 22 or something like that to come down and like make the logo and then just sort of work with the UI designer on like in implementing brand essentially. And so that got me out of Missouri. It got me to Austin. And unfortunately, like, I hate to say this about that company because they're my friends and I love them, but like within weeks, I was already like emailing the studios again in Austin doing the same thing I'd been doing in Missouri. trying to go work for Preacher and Land and just flirting with everyone. And Pentagram and all those guys that were down there. And that didn't work out. You know, no one really bit. And I was sort of simultaneously just meeting friends and working on band stuff. My good buddy Keith Young is still a really successful freelancer down there. And he, for no reason at all, just like befriended me and started handing me like album art gigs and stuff. And so I really credit a lot of the different kinds of work that I've done to him and that opportunity. And basically about a year into my time in Austin, I can't remember if I inquired about it or if I was emailed about it, but I, being on Dribbble as one is, I was very aware that like, I had some friends who were working for this company called Charity Water, and I knew one of them, kind of the more junior of the two designers, was on his way out. And so I can't remember, again, if I sent him a message or he sent me a message, but we basically said like, do you want to like interview to basically just take my spot? It worked out. I got the job. They were like, we'll fly up to New York. And the day, or maybe even the week before I got the job officially, or the week before I started, the other designer quit. And so I had to sort of be the acting senior designer and then like find someone to replace me before I even started. And
are we building a studio?
Yeah. And so it was wild, and it was like far more than I was ready for, but also like they didn't put pressure on me. I kind of put pressure on myself. And it was honestly a really lovely experience working there. Like I definitely my second favorite job behind this one. It was great. And I got to work on literally everything. Like as the, you know, senior of a two-man design team, like we did websites, we did installations, we did identities, I got to design like a scannable wristband for a, you know, gala. We projected, I remember, this is really silly. We were doing projections on the back wall of the, what is the mummy room? Not the mummy room, the, in the Met.
Like the
Sackler wing.
Oh, sure.
It was in the Sackler wing. We had a gala in the Sackler wing with the big pyramids and stuff.
Yep.
And I even got to say like what I wanted to be projected on the back wall. And my being 23 years old, I just sent a bunch of Kanye concert photos. Cause I was like, make it look like water, like do that stuff. Anyway. So I really like got a lot out of that. And, you know, as is the schedule every year or two, I got bored again. And this time I was pretty aware that I think I wanted to start a studio someday. And so I very intentionally looked for anyone that would have me, on that scale, like, you know, 20 people or 10 people or even less. And I ended up at literally a 4-person studio, that actually was split between California and New York. And so it was actually just 2 people in each office. And I worked with them for about a year, mostly websites, for e-commerce brands. And that sort of locked in like the last thing that I, not the last, you can always grow obviously, but the last thing that I felt like I was really deficient in, which was like systems and interaction work and sort of thinking digitally first, because I can tell, you know, everyone can tell that's, I remember like whenever the internet first happened, someone was like, are we really going to use this? And like, yes, we do.
And here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Basically I spent a year with that company, and I left not really knowing what I was going to do. It was the only time in my career I didn't have a job before I left. And I didn't know what I was going to do after. And I was really, really fortunate. I got to spend about 20 hours a week with some friends in Nashville who ran a studio called Platoon, and still really good friends of mine. Honestly, I really tried to model the thinking of All Right, like after them as much as possible in the early days. Just decided to go for it. I didn't have a job yet, and I was talking to Platoon, and I was like, well, maybe now's the time. Hope, my partner, had sort of a freelance roster of development clients, and our friend, who was our CTO for the first 2 years, he also had a number of freelance clients. And so he and I had been kind of doing one-off random websites for a while, just freelancing on the side, which, you know, never really stopped until we opened the studio. And we looped him in, and we just started going, and we got a co-working space, and the rest is history, I suppose.
And here we are today.
There's more.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot more.
I mean, yeah, you spent like 15 minutes on the up until 2 years ago, basically, and then those yeah. 2 years. I mean, those 2 years are
the, a lot of meat. Yeah, a lot happened. Mm. I mean, I'm not sure if maybe this is best served for later, there was obviously the studio changed and shifted. And I think it's really interesting that sort of between like the first podcast episode we did now, like it's completely different. Like it's in a different part of town. We didn't even have a studio, I think, when we did the other one. And we were not making much money, but we were making enough money to be okay. Mm-hmm. And we really, really quickly learned that the only way we were going to be interesting at all is if we were just incredibly good people to work with. And then the work needed to be something that I thought I hadn't seen before. And that was really came from the client side. We are pretty selective with our projects now. We have the ability to be, but back then it was a lot harder. And so that was actually a good thing because we were so new that it wasn't like, you know, I'm trying to think who the cool brands are. Like Gin Lane didn't tap us to like work on anything. Like no one knew who we were. And so that was the thing, was like really only one studio or like one entity in New York kind of knew who we were, and that was High Tide. Danny over there. And looking back, I've heard other people hear him say things like, you know, that they would have preferred to like hire me or something. But what really happened was we were able to execute on the level of brand that they did for the brand and take that to the website. Because we were just really, really thoughtful about it. And I had spent time doing branding. I was really passionate about branding, but I don't like the word branding, and it does honestly, it is kind of the most stress inducing thing that I do personally, because there's just so much that goes into your identity. And I think that the reason that we really loved just wilding out on digital from the start was that we got to do a controlled version of branding. Like it was branding that I could wrap my head around, and I only had to operate within, you know, a screen height. That was really great. Like, I loved that. Honestly, like, that's why Spencer's here, is because I design our identities, but like the work that it takes to get to starting to design an identity is the least fun part of everything I do to me. And that was why it was great. Like, we literally were just like jumping in, taking websites that they had made identities for, and they really just let us go. Like, we would check in with them and they would, you know, let us know when stuff, you know, wasn't lining up. But essentially we kind of had free range, sort of just like do whatever and then build it. And that was how I think we started to get sort of any traction at all, was really in some of those sites. And that the fact that some of those were a little bit higher profile, I would never say that at any point we had, because there's always that system that you want to get to of like a couple of big projects and then like a couple like small ones that are just for you. And we constantly were slammed. Like, we just were taking on everything all the time. And so there was never a point at which it was like, here's the money one, here's the fun one. It was all just like, this all has to get done. And so that meant that in between working on, you know, $50,000 websites, I was literally working on like $100 album art, like single covers in the same day. Like, I still do that. Like, I just go from one to the other and like, it doesn't even matter. And I think that that's really tiring, but it also keeps things really, really fresh and really fluid. And so we were finding success in, I think, really early on, translating our abilities in other areas of design to digital design. And then over the course of the past, you know, year and a half, I think we've actually been doing the inverse kind of intentionally, which is taking everything we know about how to structure a digital project and making our print or identity projects run that much more smoothly.
Yeah, we learned a lot in the past year about valuing our services and the realities of what a project with us looks like. Like, you know, this time last year, pre-COVID, we were doing a lot of work where people had brought us on to do their website, and then we were basically just branding them, coming up with an art and creative direction, writing all their copy, doing their brand strategy, and
but it was all built, then their it website. Was built under website.
Yeah, exactly.
And what we realized, and this, I think one of the best examples of this that I can think of is honestly, like I walked into a room and Spencer had been working with this client, and this client and Roberta's Pizza here in Brooklyn was sort of the first two projects where we were like, okay, let's make this official. And the first project, I remember I walked into this room and you had been just like yapping for a while because they were like, intentionally so, like it was a presentation and it was a workshop. And I walk in and Spencer's all like animated and I was like really in awe of the way he like controlled this room. And then I sat down and I realized that the people around the table were saying nothing.
Except for me, I was saying
stuff. Yeah. Spencer was saying stuff, but like literally we were like, they would put stuff up on the board and I would look at that and Spencer was like, Garrett, do you have any thoughts? And as the web guy, at first I was like, no, I don't have any thoughts. But then I was like, I have a ton of thoughts. You guys don't even know what you're doing. And how can we make a website if you don't know what you're doing? And I think that was the moment where I realized with certainty that like we have to do everything in order to be successful and survive.
Yep.
And to keep trash out of the world. I do sort of see us as somewhat of a, this is really putting a lot of pressure on us, but like if you work with us, we're not going to make your stuff trash and like ethically ambiguous. And like we have really high standards, not just in the aesthetics, but also in like whether this is a good idea for the world.
There's only so much we can do about
it. Exactly. And I would like to hope that like every project that we take on is hopefully one that we were able to like keep within our ethical kind of bounds.
It's at least making the world a prettier place. So
it's fair. Fair.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think like there's something that very early on in this kind of section you talk about the unsatisfaction of what you were creating. Like, do you both still battle with that on a day to day, or you know?
No, honestly, I don't. Like, my cup runneth over with satisfaction. I had a really similar kind of like trajectory where I just hopped around to jobs that I did not love, but maybe I was getting a teeny little morsel out of. Sometimes that morsel was just money. And then actually, I started just full-time freelancing, like at this point, like maybe almost 5 years ago. I was in DC and then I moved to New York and like was almost immediately sort of like successful, which is to say I could afford myself and my life, but I wasn't doing great work. And then I kind of like fell ass backwards into Gin Lane, shout out Gin Lane, which like changed my career trajectory entirely. But even still, I like wasn't super psyched on what was happening. I still had the itch to do other things. But Garrett also was on my radar, like my favorite designer. I was so impressed with all of his work. And basically like when we met and started collaborating a little bit and then started collaborating a lot of it, I haven't ever since, you know, almost a year ago now, felt dissatisfied. Like there's been a lot of growing pains and like, you know, business complications in running a small studio in New York, especially in COVID, but all of the work has been super satisfying. Like I go home and basically turn my brain off and don't even do anything else.
That's the other thing is like, I used to be very much like, I mean, this sounds crazy now, but I would like work at Cherry Water from even a little earlier than 9 to 5 pretty reliably. And then I'd come home and pretty reliably from like 7 to midnight freelance. And I can't imagine doing that now. Like I have no more room in me for any more creativity. Like sometimes I think like, oh, it'd be fun to do something that's like, even if it's for a client, it's still for me. And I don't have any energy at the end of the day anymore.
No, we're so incredibly lucky that, you know, I mean, it's not just luck. Like we've intentionally kind of built a studio that puts out work where clients are coming to us for what we do. Like more often than not, they're picking the crazy direction we pitch or just letting us make the call. And that's so rare. I mean, I remember a year ago, even like pre-Alright, having to acquiesce to some ridiculous thing that somebody else was telling me I should do, whether they were a client, like a creative director or another designer. And now it's like, you know, we make the calls.
Well, there's strength in numbers too. It's a lot less stressful having 4 people to help us figure out what the right thing is. And also for my own sanity, it's really helpful to have 3 other people in the room who can tell me like an honest representation of whatever happened. Like if some situation occurs with a client or with a meeting or with whatever, I no longer have like the emptiness in my head to judge myself. I kind of have like actual people who can actually tell me the reality, which I think is really helpful for my design process. That means I don't spend as much time spinning my wheels and also beating myself up when it's not up to whatever magical kind of standards I had.
Yeah. The last piece on that, I will say, like, I'm very creatively satisfied, but I'm still not necessarily satisfied with my work. Like, I'm always trying to do better work, and working with Garrett really pushes me to do that because his work is so good and so tight. So, you know, I may feel like I am getting everything out of my day job one could possibly ask for, but I still have a lot of room to grow as a designer. And I think that's important too, like not being satisfied at work and not being satisfied sort of with your work are totally different things.
Oh, yeah.
And presumably if you're good, like you're never satisfied with your work.
I can't imagine ever being at the point where I look at some of the designers we talk about all the time and say, like, this even happened with our own website where we had someone else do it. Because I didn't have anything specific in mind. I didn't feel like I was going to be a really overbearing creative director. I just wanted to see really talented people do what they wanted to do with what we gave them.
Yeah.
It worked out really well. And what that kind of told me was, I don't know that I'm definitely not as picky with other people's work as I am with mine. And so everyone I think is awesome, like all the studios we love, like, you know, Actual Source and Some Days and all those guys, I look at their work and I'm like, oh, that's the pinnacle. That's exactly what I want. Yeah. But even if I was ever to get there, I think I would probably not realize I was there and want to keep going.
Yep.
Yeah, you're always your hardest critic, you know, and there's
you got it.
That's the thing as a designer, I guess. Thanks for listening to part one of our chat with All Right Studio. Tune in next Monday when we continue our conversation with Garrett and Spencer.
The Pathfinder podcast has been brought to you by Shillington, the original graphic design bootcamp. To learn more about the podcast and Shillington, click the link in the bio. Show your support by subscribing and rating us on your preferred podcast platform. Original music composed and performed by Menakshi. Thanks for listening.